Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel 18 called Entangled.
The Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I want you guys to see this for a second because this is extremely important for your understanding of the theology of the cross. Jesus was hung on a tree on the cross, not because he sinned. He became accursed for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus is affixed to the cross, it is not for his transgressions, it's for yours. It's for mine. And Jesus is being treated as a common criminal, as though he had sinned against God the Father, because he decided he would take the place that you and I deserved. And he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He died for the sinful ways of people like Absalom and people like Michael, and you could put your name in there. He died on the tree for you and for me. And Joab blew the trumpet, 16, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained the people. Once Absalom was dead, they figured all bets were off. They blew the shofar. The people heard it. They took Absalom and they cast him into a deep pit in the forest. They did not bury him in a family tomb, which would be an honorable burial, but put him in a pit, how apropos, and erected over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled each to his tent. By the way, Achan was buried in this way under stones, and so was Ai, Joshua 7:26 and Joshua 8:29. And all Israel on the side of Absalom fled to his tent. They heard Absalom was dead. They heard what had happened. They fled. Everybody went home, and they were probably hoping that David would not deal harshly with them. And now Absalom in his lifetime had taken up and set up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's valley, a sign of what he thought he would be. For he said, I have no son to preserve my name. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. There is a monument in Israel today. They don't think it's back to this time. But this King's Valley may have been part of the Kidron Valley. And Absalom in chapter 14, verse 27, is said to have had three sons. So what happened? All we can say is it would appear that Absalom's sons died young. And so at this point in Absalom's life, he builds a monument to preserve his name, but his monument is a monument of shame. When I say Absalom, what do you think of? If you haven't read this story before, now from this point forward, you hear Absalom and you're going to think traitor, fool, unwise. See, they can make a monument to you. The question is, what does the monument represent? You could have a statue out in front of a stadium. You can have a monument in a cemetery. But what you did with that dash between two dates is all that really matters. You have one life, one dash between a date you're born and a date you die. I read a lot of theology books, and I'm getting more and more interested in dates of people's lives as I read. And I'll read a scholar, and it'll say he was born in 1854 and died in 1908. And I start calculating. I said, shoot, he was in his 50s. And then I read another scholar, and he was in his 50s, and another one in his 60s, another one was in his 70s, and another one died in his early 50s. And then there's some scholars, they write a book, and it gives the date of their birth, and there's a dash, and there's no date at the end yet because they're still alive. And I wonder if you read your own book, how that makes you feel. Let's see, there is going to be another date there somewhere. Someone's going to write something with an end date on there at some point. And the question is going to be, how did I live? Did I live for what is going to last? The kingdom of God? What's your monument? What's your legacy? Well, Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, please let me run and bring the king news that the Lord had freed him from the hand of his enemies. 20. But Joab said to him, you are not the man to carry news this day, but you shall carry news another day. However, you shall carry no news today because the king's son is dead. Now, Ahimaaz was thinking, well, this is great. I want to be a runner, and I'm going to go run to the king's location. I'm going to bring the happy news that he's been freed and everybody's fleeing back and the war is over. But the response was, no, you're not going to be the one to carry the news because I've got news for you. The king is not going to see this as good news. This is going to be bittersweet. Yes, his life is now protected, but his son is dead. This is gospel language, by the way. To carry news is gospel language. And Romans 10:15 says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Here's the image from Romans 10:15. A runner, no cell phone, no texting back in the day, would run. And the way that he ran as he approached the king's location would tell you everything about how the war was going. If he ran kind of downhearted, then the king would say, oh, the news is bad. If he was running like this, then it was good. Some of you have never run like this before. But anyway, next time you exercise, try to exercise with a smile on your face. Anyway, that's just some free advice. 21. Then Joab said to the Cushite, he's a foreigner from the area south of Egypt, part of the sons of Ham, Genesis 10:6. He had attached himself to David. So the Cushite bowed and ran. He said, you go and tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed and ran. I don't know if bowed to Joab and ran. I don't know if Joab wanted a foreigner to go just in case something bad happened. I mean, David had a bit of a reputation of hearing bad news and people wouldn't last in his presence. So Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite. And Joab said, why would you run, my son, since you have no reward for going? But whatever happens, he said, I will run. I feel like running, king. I want to run. Or to Joab. And so he said to him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and passed up the Cushite. Now, I don't know if this became a race or what. But Ahimaaz went ahead, and David was sitting between the two gates. The watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall, raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. The watchman called and told the king, who was certainly waiting for news of how the battle had gone. And the king said, if he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth. 25. And he came nearer and nearer. The watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, behold, another man running by himself. And the king said, this one also is bringing good news. And the watchman said, I think the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The king said, this is a good man and comes with good news. And Ahimaaz came and said to the king, all is well, that's shalom, all is well, peace. And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, blessed is the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord the king. I bring peace, I bring good news. And the king said, here's his focus. Is it well with the young man, Absalom? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was. He kind of tried to skirt the issue. He knew that the king's son was dead. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside, he stood still, and behold, the Cushite arrived. And the Cushite said, let my lord the king receive good news. For the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you. Then the king said to the Cushite, is it well with the young man Absalom? And the Cushite answered, let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man. May anyone who tries to ever do anything against you be like him. And David knew that Absalom was dead. It's hard to deliver news like this. It's hard to say to someone in a dark moment of their life, your loved one is gone. I was reading Warren Wiersbe, and he said, The Cushite tried to share the hard news with tact and a positive view. Someone has defined tact as the knack of making a point without making an enemy. Tact is the knack of making a point without making an enemy. And tact can become something that you get better at as you go on in life. But there's no easy way to say to the king, your son is dead. And so he said, well, let anybody who comes up against you be like this young man. And David knew. And David, when he was told a story by Nathan in chapter 12, verse 6, said there should be a fourfold repayment. Think of this. The baby died, the relationship between Bathsheba and David, Tamar was raped, Amnon was slain, and now Absalom is dead, and David has tasted once again the fourfold judgment of his own sin. By his own judgment, it was judged back to him. Jesus said, by your own measure of judgment, it will be judged back to you. And even though David was forgiven, he had some deep cost and deep hurt.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And the Cushite said, let my lord the king receive good news, for the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you. Then the king said to the Cushite, is it well with the young man Absalom? And the Cushite answered, let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man. May anyone who tries to ever do anything against you be like him. And David knew that Absalom was dead. It's hard to deliver news like this. It's hard to say to someone in a dark moment of their life, your loved one is gone. I was reading Warren Wiersbe, and he said, the Cushite tried to share the hard news with tact and a positive view. Someone has defined tact as the knack of making a point without making an enemy. Tact is the knack of making a point without making an enemy. And tact can become something that you get better at as you go on in life. But there's no easy way to say to the king, your son is dead. And so he said, well, let anybody who comes up against you be like this young man. And David knew. And David, when he was told a story by Nathan in chapter 12, verse 6, said there should be a fourfold repayment. Think of this. The baby died, the relationship between Bathsheba and David, Tamar was raped, Amnon was slain, and now Absalom is dead, and David has tasted once again the fourfold judgment of his own sin. By his own judgment, it was judged back to him. Jesus said, by your own measure of judgment, it will be judged back to you. And even though David was forgiven, he had some deep cost and deep hurt. Final verse. And the king was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, he was pacing, and he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, oh Absalom, my son, would I have died in the tree instead of you? And 1,000 years later, the greater David would say, I will die in the tree instead of you. I will do what David desired to do, to die for a wayward son. I will die for you. And while we were yet sinners, Christ, what? Died for us and demonstrated his love for us in that while we were wayward Absaloms. Do you feel it for yourself? While I was an enemy of God, that's when Jesus died for me. Not when I had my life perfectly together. Not when everything, you know, when I could say, okay, maybe I'll be acceptable in heaven's eyes. No, when I was Absalom, my king died on the tree for me and for you. That's the gospel. Good news of great joy. That's for all the people. I believe that David's tears are a foreshadowing of the tears of Jesus, who cried at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who cried over the city of Jerusalem, who weeps over a rebellious son who has died. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 33:11. And God is not willing that any perish, but what? All come to repentance. See, no matter what had happened, David would always love his son. And no matter what you and I do, this is hard to fathom in our world that's so wired for achievement gets you back grace or favor. That's not how the kingdom of God works. Now, God wants you to work. He wants you to be actively serving him. But you don't get saved by works. You get saved by what? Grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Father, we are humbled by your love for us. At some point in eternity past, and I don't know how all of that works, Jesus, you said, I will die in the tree for Absaloms. Father, I will pay their price. And though you were completely innocent, Jesus, you were treated on the tree as though you had committed my sins and the collective sins of all humanity. And it's so hard to even fathom that you became a curse for us that we might become in you the righteousness of God. You took our shame, our sin, our shortcomings, our lusts, all the evils that we have done, and you nailed them to the cross, to the tree. Oh, what a glorious Savior we have, who would die for sins that others committed. David longed to be the man that could die for his son, but you are the God who died for your children. I'm going to ask you to keep your head and heart bowed. If you are not sure that you're in that new covenant through the blood of Jesus, if you're not sure that maybe you feel like, man, I'm Absalom against my heavenly Father. I've been trying to usurp his throne. I've been trying to sit on my own throne. Why don't you just come to him now? He wants you to have life. But you have to have a moment when you decide to join his kingdom, to be part of his army, to not fight him anymore, to not think that you can save yourself. Let go of your bitterness. Let go of the desire to control everything and release that to the Lord. Something like this. Would you keep your head and heart bowed? If you've not done this, do it now. Jesus, Thank you so much, pray it if it's you, for coming down and dying on that cross for me. Thank you that you took my pain, my shame, my sin, my guilt, and you took it and nailed it to the cross. Thank you for forgiveness in you. I turn from my sin. I turn from trying to do things my own way. And I turn to you through your Son. I ask that you'd forgive me. I believe in your death on the cross, your resurrection from the dead. I turn my life over to you. Father, for those who have done that, or maybe prodigals who have recommitted their lives, may you wash them in your grace. May you bless them with the sweetness of removing the load of guilt and weight of sin and tangled messes that we create. May you untangle the mess. And may you make us truly free. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Entangled, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel, chapter 18. You can email Pastor Michael with questions or prayer requests at contact@walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, you can see at the end of 2 Samuel 18 that David, even though Absalom had really decided to become his enemy, loses his son. And 2 Samuel 18:33 says the king was deeply moved. He went up into the chamber over the gate and wept. And he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, oh, my son Absalom, would that I had died instead of you. Oh, my son." What a heartbreaking moment here. You know, it does make me think of what Jesus did for us. Jesus died in our place. "Oh, that I would die instead of you." And that's exactly what he did. The greater David died for our sins, everything that we'd gotten ourselves entangled in, like Absalom, all the lies and deception. Especially if you became a Christian later in life, you know how much you've been forgiven. You know how many, you know, things you got entangled in and that, and how it rippled out into relationships and decisions that had consequences and maybe still do. And the greater David, not only did he say, "Would that I would die for you," but he did die for us. And he did it for love. He did it because he wanted us to be okay, to be at peace with God, to be restored, reconciled, all those beautiful things. If you've not met the greater David, King Jesus, you know, he is really a prayer away. And he wants you to come to him with all the baggage, with all the mistakes, with all the hurts, all the forgiveness that you need, and he'll forgive you. He's already paid for it at the cross. He already rose for your justification, Romans 4. And now the gift is there. You just have to receive it. And it is, you know, not just an intellectual agreement to a set of facts. It is to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life and move forward in his forgiveness and his transforming power. This is what we do. This is the good news of the gospel. And my prayer is that you know the one who is the good news. His name is Jesus. Cry out to him, "Lord, I repent of my sin. Forgive me. Thank you for dying on that cross for all that I've done wrong. Restore my life. Let me be born again of your Holy Spirit." Pray it if it's you right now. If you're driving, just keep your eyes open. He'll hear you. "Lord, I repent. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus. Thank you for defeating death itself in the resurrection. Thank you that you ascended to heaven. You're the king. Oh, Lord, I give you my life." Maybe you need to rededicate. "Lord, I return to you. Oh, restore me. Restore that the years that the locust has eaten. I come home right now." You know, if you do that, he'll welcome you just like the father did of the prodigal son. You can start fresh. And if we can help you in any way, reach out to us through the website. You can send us a message on how to pray for you, or let us know that you committed or recommitted to Jesus Christ.
The website is walkintruth.com. There's a section there where you can comment, you can share your heart with us. We can rejoice with you if you made a decision for Christ. Walkintruth.com. Reach out to us today, and Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.
Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $5 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part one of Complicated Relationships. I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.